Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer recruiting experts. Now, here's your host, Chris Cousins.
Hi guys, Chris Cousins here from Sports Recruiting USA. Just want to say thanks again for tuning in. This episode is a coronavirus special again. We did one previously at the beginning of the lockdown period, and obviously a lot has happened since then, and even since we recorded it actually, which was the week before last. So sorry it's taken a little bit of time to get out there, but yeah, it's pretty much up to date. But we held the podcast on someone else's podcast slash Zoom webinar. So the International Prospect Academy hosted us, really. So every Thursday we were on that, and then this one we did a coronavirus special. So we had myself, Don Williams, Mike Avery, Ernie Arbor, and we just kind of spitballed about the whole coronavirus thing and how it's affected things. And it's definitely an update on the last time, and it's a good listen for coaches, players, parents, whatever. So yeah, worth a listen. So Don Williams leads it. We're all on it, and yeah, hopefully you get some value out of it. So obviously, thanks again for tuning in. So this is the Inside College Soccer Podcast, and this is the coronavirus special number 2.
Today, I've got some of our crew with us, some of our staff members, and I'd like to introduce them to you. And what we're going to be doing today then is talking about this whole COVID-19 thing, what the shakeout has been to date. And I want to be able to speak with our staff about that. So first of all, I'd like to introduce Ernie Yarborough. Hey, Ernie, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks, Don. Thanks for having us for the group that's, I think I was here a couple of weeks ago. Is this the same group that I did the goalkeeping with?
Yeah, but this is going out all over the world. So
oh, great.
Ernie, I'm going to have you introduce yourself real quick.
Sure. My name's Ernie Yarborough. I was a college player myself a long time ago in the 90s. Worked at Indiana University, University of Michigan, UAB, and Xavier, and University of Wisconsin in Division I, and then most recently at NAIA Marion University here in Indianapolis up until last fall.
Fantastic. Thanks, Ernie. And we've also got Mike Avery with us, another one of our staff members. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Don. Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on. Mike Avery. I'm the head coach for Fort Wayne FC, which is a newly formed aspiring professional organization that was supposed to be playing in the NPSL. I think our first game was supposed to be last weekend. And like everybody else with the pandemic, that game got canceled and the season's been canceled. But we're working on next year. And so before that, I spent the last 30 years coaching in college. I worked my way up from the NAIA through Division II to Division I, ultimately working at University of Notre Dame, Louisville, and then finally the last 13 years as the head coach at Valparaiso.
Fantastic. Thanks, Mike. And then we've also got Chris Cousins from England. How are you, Chris?
Good, thank you.
Fantastic. Would you introduce yourself to everybody for us, Chris?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on. So I'm Chris Cousins. I'm the founder of Sports Recruiting USA. I'm the head of operations. I'm kind of Don's counterpart in the rest of the world. So he looks after North America. I look after the rest of the world. I'm a former college player. Played in England before that as a professional club. Got released. We kind of created the service because there was no one helping guys get into the college system properly. So, yeah, played in college. Didn't do as well as I should have done certain things, but that's a story for another day. And then I obviously played in the States a little bit afterwards and came back to England. And yeah, rest is history. Now I'm in the working world and we help lots of players. So thanks for having me on.
Fantastic. Okay, so guys, let's, I don't even know where to start. So about, 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago now, we did a podcast on this whole coronavirus thing and what we saw, but I don't know that any of us predicted what we see happening now. What do you guys think? Ernie, Mike, Chris?
I mean, obviously the landscape is changing and I don't know what Mike's opinion will be, but probably forever changing in terms of college soccer and the impact that it's having across all levels. You know, we've already seen a few major programs, and I say major in terms of size of school, size of conference, ability of the program to do well, dropping their men's soccer programs in the last few months. It's obviously happening at all levels, as well as the Division I level. And I think it's the beginning of something that may not stop for a couple of years, actually, once people realize the budget restrictions they'll be under.
Yeah. Mike, you were kind of course, they couldn't blame your, you know, Valparaiso situation on coronavirus, could they, Mike?
No, our program was eliminated just before the pandemic hit. So, but it was similar in that it was probably based in budget, size of school, and the number of sports they were being offered. And so just their ability to staff and facilities and all those things that go into running a program. So similar, but not certainly related directly to the pandemic. But like Ernie said, I do think that we are going to continue to see changes that might have a lasting impact in college sports, not just college soccer, but college sports across the board.
Yeah, Chris, we've had friends of ours now, you know, out looking for jobs, I guess, right? Because schools programs being shut down, especially on the men's side. Is that what you're seeing more, Chris?
Yeah, definitely on the men's. I think it's the whole, well, I guess, tell me if I'm wrong, but a Title IX thing. That's why the men's soccer program seem to be going. I mean, look, I'm trying to be an optimist in this whole situation. I think things are definitely going to change, but I'm looking at it as a good thing in the long run. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of people out of jobs in the short term, which is not great whatsoever. But yeah, I think this is shaking up the whole world in every industry, in every part of life. So no one can hide from it. We just kind of have to adjust to it. So it's exciting to kind of follow it and kind of we need to adjust and pivot how we do things. But yeah, it's just the men's soccer thing's kind of getting hit big time with it at the minute. Yesterday, a program, Appalachian State, they got canceled. So one of our incoming players is due to go there. He's obviously not going there anymore. So there's a little last minute scramble, try and place him and stuff like that. So there's little things like that, but end of the day, it's first world problems, as they say. we can get through it.
Yeah. So what do we know about internationals, Chris? You're probably the best one to ask this question too, about international players getting their visas, their paperwork, all of that coming into the country. What do we know about that?
If you can find that out for me, that'd be brilliant. We don't know. Like, everyone's pretty much, I think it's going to be a last minute scramble. Who knows if people are going to be on campus in August. Everyone's getting different answers. Every school's kind of saying different things. So, yeah, we're just taking each day as it comes. But to answer your question, no idea right now. Visa situation's kind of on hold. Everyone's kind of waiting in the wings to find out. So, yeah.
Are there... at least in England, are they at least accepting appointments at the embassy?
You know what? I need to find that out because last time we checked, they weren't. I think there's been like special circumstances for certain things, but for like just the student visas, I don't think quite yet, no.
Okay, all right. So what does this, Mike, what do you think that this means for... the class of 2021, because I guess we should clarify, you know, maybe what the recruiting season looks like, right? Would a college coach be done with their 2020s right now? Would they be turning for 2021s? Where would they normally be going to find their 2021s? And what do you think this virus means for that?
Well, it's certainly interesting for these colleges because they are continuing to work. I know that. I've spoken to a lot of my friends that are in college coaching, and they're trying to figure out this new landscape of how they identify players and see players and then build relationships with the players that they've seen when they're not able to get in front of them in a face-to-face conversation right now. I think it was just announced yesterday that the NCAA extended the dead period in recruiting for all sports for Division I through the end of July, July 31st. So that means they cannot have a face-to-face conversation, whether on their campus or off campus, with a prospect, and they're not going out to watch anybody play. And so it makes it interesting for sure. And they're trying to use other means to identify players. They're watching videos, they're talking to coaches, they're doing all their research, everything except for the final piece of watching the player play.
Right, right. So how, what do you think, Ernie? Do you think that college coaches, does it look like we're saying that they're just going to sign off of video only?
You know, I think a lot of it depends on the ability for things to get back to as close to normal as we can. I think it's hard for coaches to go only on video and the amount of money that some of these kids may have to take to impact the program. You know, we always mentioned that video was a great segue into getting to know the player and wanting to see more, kind of whetting your appetite. And so I think there's going to be a lot of coaches who are very interested in the market, whether or not the market can open for them to go and view and see. I think it's going to put a premium on the player's ability to be ready when the time comes. You know, I've had some conversations with players in our own club here in Indiana that it's going to happen real fast that coaches are going to find out who's committed to wanting to improve and do things on their own. Because you can't take the time to build your fitness, to build your way back in. You know, obviously timing and tactics and things are going to come as they come when you're with your group. But your technique should be as strong as possible. Your fitness should be at a level as high as you can be individually, because you're not going to have many opportunities to impress. You know, you're going to have the one or two, maybe around Thanksgiving or Christmas. And then coaches are going to start, you know, based on who they've seen, who they've built the relationships, as Mike mentioned, they're going to go to them first. And then it's just going to be a trickle down. You know, I heard a great thing about college in general, not just college athletics, but colleges in America. And, you know, the way they basically had it in tier one, tier two, and tier three. And the guy said tier one schools, the Harvards, the Princetons, the Yales, the Stanfords, the Dukes, they're going to admit more kids off their waiting lists this year and next year, because less kids that have applied and got accepted are going to come because of this coronavirus and not knowing what's going on. Well, that then is going to trickle down into tier two schools that their waiting lists are going to get more kids in. And then the tier three schools, they're not going to have waiting lists. And so the tier three schools are just simply going to lose people to these other two tiers. And you're going to see a lot of tier three type schools that he said were overpriced and, you know, competing in a market that now aren't going to have buyers. And I think you can look at it in a similar way to potentially with players and recruiting, where you have this pool up here that may get a little bit expanded based on some of the players down here. And eventually these players down here simply aren't going to be there at the end because the coaches have already picked from the first two pools. And so my advice is, whenever a player is ready to go with their group or their team or their event, whatever it may be, that they have to be ready. They can't think that they're going to spend 2 or 3 weeks or a month and maybe the first tournament getting their feet wet. Be ready to go. You never know who's watching. And when the calls start coming in, find out the information that you need to make your decisions, because I think decisions will be paramount. I think the sooner you can make a decision based on positive and good information, the better off people will be.
Yeah, what do you have? What do you say about that, Mike?
I agree. I think right now it's about preparation and then being as nimble as possible, so that when things start to open up and things start to happen, and you know, one school might be able to produce an online virtual visit to the campus, whereas another school might be in a totally different region of the country and they might be able to have you in for a visit. And so you've got to just be aware and willing to do what is necessary, because that's what the coaches are going to do. The coaches are going to be sitting by the phone waiting to see, oh, there's a tournament happening this weekend. I'm bored. I want to go see soccer. I haven't seen a player play. I'm going. You know what I mean? As soon as things start to open up and people can travel, they're going to go. And so I don't think it's going to be as systematic as it used to be in years past. I think it's going to be more, this is happening, this is happening, let's go. And so, again, I think from a player standpoint, it's about being as prepared as you can be, get your video in order, get your profile information, your academic information, get everything ready to go and be nimble. By that, I mean be agile, ready to move when things are starting to open up.
Yeah, actually, Don, just one more thing. I was in a meeting today for our club. We have returned to play next week in terms of 2 weeks of technical training, social distancing, all the things you have to follow. And then June 15th, we're having a trial week because you're allowed to have more contact and play a bit more. And I found out in that meeting, and unbeknownst to me, I had not even heard that this was an option, but the park we use is going to start their own league on June 15th. So they're basically, since there's no soccer being played, you know, officially, no state cups, no regionals, teams don't have a summer schedule, Grand Park here in Indianapolis, they've actually created their own league to have teams and age groups playing. And so something like that, as Mike just said, you know, one of our coaches is a college coach. He kind of shook his head like, oh yeah. He's like, I'll start coming out to watch the older groups. And I mean, that's a prime example. I mean, 2 weeks from now, there's going to be live soccer 15 minutes from my house, which I didn't know about 4 hours ago.
And honestly, that's kind of exciting to me because I tell you what, as a college coach now, you don't go to watch a city league like that because the best players are out of town, right? They're playing there. They're playing there. They're, you know, one's traveling here, one's traveling. It's not like they're playing all in town together like the old days. How cool would it be to, for a short period of time, at least, to see all of the best players in Indianapolis, right, playing in the same league?
It'd be nice if they could pool those teams together like that. I mean, I don't know where these teams are coming from, or yeah. I'm assuming it's going to be, you know, kind of like a four-a-side tournament where you get the three or four buddies that play on different teams and you kind of get them together. But I mean, for regular size though, I mean, maybe you got three or four guys from five or six teams, and you know, the high school rule here, I think you can't have more, Mike, you might know this as well, but you can't have more than five or six guys from one high school playing together anyway. And so if you have a high school age team, you probably have three or four players from four or five schools, and, you know, and they're the best kids from those schools. And then they have another team that's the B kids from those schools. So it'll be interesting to see how it shapes up. I'm just excited, as Mike said, and you reiterated, for some live soccer close to home.
Yeah. Don, can I just say, say something?
Of course.
Yeah. I'm going to bring, I mean, that does sound awesome. Obviously I'm outside the US, so I'm going to miss all that, but here in England, it's kind of like, you can't play whatsoever. So yeah, pretty jealous of that one. going back down to earth a little bit for the player side of things, like what we're finding with the 2021 people is, to kind of go back to the original question. We find a lot of international players, especially, are kind of deferring the year. So they, instead of thinking like, you know what, I'm going to go 2020, they've kind of seen this and gone, you know what, I'm going to take the gap year. So I'm going to take a year out. So that then will mean, so all these kids we're talking about who are like, yeah, you need to get fit, you need to get ready and stuff like that. You really do, because there's going to be like double the amount of people for next year trying to get into the college system. If not more, I don't know, but yeah, that's just one thing to think about. There's a lot of people who might double the intake next year. There's a lot more competition to try and get into a team. So you really do need to up your levels for next year.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that kind of leads me right into the next question. I know it's all, well, some of it's rumor, some of it's not. What do we think is happening with 2020 college soccer?
Ernie, Mike.
I mean, yeah. Honestly, at this point, there was good news from the NCAA just this week that June 1st, teams can be back on campus training and using their facilities. So that's a positive step. Yet just yesterday here in the state of Indiana, Indiana University announced a return to campus protocol that, you know, a lot of changes in terms of how they're going to operate. Notre Dame's already done the same thing, as well as Purdue. So there's definitely light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, but nothing's set in stone until they're back on campus training and playing what is now a 25% reduced schedule on a much more regional basis from what I understand it to be.
Yeah, what else do we know? Well, CCAA, right? California Collegiate Athletic Association, which is the most of the public division, all of the public division two schools in California, announced that they will not be playing fall sports at all. I suppose they could change their mind, right?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed an early announcement, but I'm not in California right now, and so maybe it seemed right on time with what's going on there. Again, it's such a regionally based, I think every city is going through something slightly different. I'm in Indiana. Like Ernie said, things are starting to open back up. Colleges in Indiana have announced their protocol to get back on campus. But I also live 45 minutes from Chicago, which is still pretty much completely locked down. And so everything is different based on where you live and what school you might be going to. I think, you know, the college administrators that I've spoken to have about 15 plans in place for what might happen. They just don't know. And I think athletics is just going to wait and see a little bit. I do think they will do everything in their power to play some sort of a season because they want students on campus. You know, the business of college education needs students on campus to run. And college athletics is such a big part of that. So I think they're going to try and play some part sort of a season. But what that looks like, I think, is going to remain to be seen.
Yeah, that's a big piece of it. The NCAA president came out a few weeks ago and flat out basically said, how can you have athletics without students on campus? And yes, you can have a virtual classroom, and yes, they can be technically taking college level courses. But are you going to ask your athletes to be on campus, taking that physical risk of getting sick and being around people and all those things when you're not requiring it or mandating it of your entire student body? So as Mike said, I think the first step is to get kids on campus, which it sounds as though most of the administrations and most of the schools that I've been in touch with and hearing about are apt to do and have put in place plans to have that happen. But the summer's coming. There's a lot more people out and about now. There's a lot more lack of social distancing, as you've probably seen, at least here in the States, over the last week or two. And so what's that going to do in 2 or 3 weeks with the numbers? You know, and I think there's going to be a real reevaluation at the end of June, once Memorial Day has settled in, once the first few weeks of summer have settled in. They're going to have a very much more higher grasp on what is or isn't happening in terms of the curves and the trends and whether or not this is something they can continue to do.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong there, Ernie. I think that June and July are going to be key months towards, you know, whether our soccer players report in August or not.
Well, the other issue they have is what happens when someone does get sick. I mean, at what point? I mean, because again, once someone is found out to have been sick, they've already been around their teammates for 2 weeks in a locker room, you know, in a meal, whatever it may be, a hotel, a bubble, as they call them, with these other things. But now you have to retest everybody, and even testing doesn't show up for a week. Like, it's just such a, it's such a conundrum of not knowing, I guess is the best way to put it, because you could go from one person being sick one day to eight people in a team being sick in 7 days. And it just, I don't know how you manage that issue within a team, a college, an athletic department. I don't know. And again, the 15 scenarios that Mike mentioned, I'm sure have something to do with the what ifs of a professor getting sick, a custodian getting sick, an athletic trainer getting sick. It's such a wild card.
Can you imagine calling your opponents and saying, hey, I got to postpone our games for 3 weeks because my whole team's sick?
Well, the other issue is locker rooms, changing rooms, who's doing laundry. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts and different things on SiriusXM soccer channels, and you know, they're talking about the Bundesliga using their stadiums, and even one team using like three different locker rooms so they can socially distance players in a locker room. Well, I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm pretty sure Valpo didn't have four different locker rooms to put one team. They probably had two locker rooms for two teams, if you were lucky enough. Marion, we didn't even have a locker room. You know, we shared one under the stadium with football and a public, you know, in and out for game day. And so in that particular case, they get nothing because I'm pretty sure they won't be sharing locker rooms in and out with other teams and the high school that comes in to use the stadium. And I just, there's so many variables that go into keeping people safe and allowing this to happen that I just wonder if certain schools are able to handle it.
Yeah, even little things, again, that Ernie's talking about, but just imagine a bus ride and you've got a social distance a team on a bus. And my wife coaches a volleyball team with 15 players, that might be possible. But what if you're coaching a football team and you've got 100 people to transport? And so what do you have to take, 6 buses now, 7 buses now to give them space? Again, there's so many things that I'm thankful in some ways that I'm not in college coaching at the moment. I'm watching it from the outside.
I actually made
as much as I love college soccer.
And how many programs in the country used to travel men's and women's together on one big bus?
Right.
Loads of them.
90, several of the, yeah, sure.
80% of them probably. A lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so how do you do that? Now you're talking, what, maybe 4 buses for 2 teams instead of one?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the bus company's not giving you a discount.
No.
And then they say vans. Well, we'll take vans. Okay, you're going to pack people even closer. I mean, vans don't solve the issue. Carpooling doesn't solve an issue. I mean, even our club, one of the rules for us to re-engage next week is that carpooling is discouraged. And some kids may simply not be able to come to training because mom and dad have to go to work and the kid can't carpool.
Hey, Coach Don, one of the things we heard this morning, which was hilarious from the Bundesliga, is all these things you're talking about are unbelievable, right? The buses, the this and that. And then they got everything ready. They're ready to open the doors in. The one people that we forgot about were the referees who hold the golden key, who all of a sudden you get everybody back on the field. You get everybody to show up and the referees say, oh, by the way, we don't feel like we want to come out and ref.
Until they got another 0 on their contract, probably.
You got it, Coach.
yeah, all those things, because I, you know, yeah, referees carpool together. I mean, all these things that you think about. Yeah.
So are we pretty much saying like it's impossible to do any sports, anything until this thing disappears? That's what it sounds like, right? But it's economy versus health, isn't it?
I think it's the willingness of the school and the individual involved to take the risk. And that's really what it's coming down to. And, you know, people are going to get sick. I don't think there's any getting around even going shopping. I take that risk. I mean, even going, my wife works at a place that reopened their patio last week and, you know, has to help people wear masks and gloves. And, you know, there's inherent risk in that as well. So I think that the options are to minimize the risk and to deal with the fallouts as quickly as possible, to continue to minimize the risk, to allow as much as we can to re-engage as much as possible. Because you can't stay at home forever. You can't not do things forever. Obviously a vaccine will help, but I just was watching something last night. They did a poll of something where 51%, only 51% of the people would say they'd even take a vaccine. So if a vaccine was started tomorrow, 51% of the U.S. population is willing to take it. Well, what about the other 49%? That doesn't solve the problem. You know, if you're not going to vaccinate everybody, it's still there. It's a crazy world.
Yeah, and I'm glad we kind of did it this way. It kind of gave an insider's point of view to the logistics of running a college team and how difficult this is going to be. And especially for us that know, yeah, there are schools that are running on a shoestring budget where coaches are driving vans back at 2:30 in the morning, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, I've got 2 vans and I'm going to – how many kids do you travel? I don't know. How many can I fit into 2 vans? That's how many I'm traveling. Some weeks it's 20, some weeks it's 21. It depends if my assistant coach was sick or not, or whatever, right? It's just how it goes. And how do you do that and maintain all the social distancing rules all by beginning or middle of August? And I think the reality is coming down to the fact that it's going to be difficult and it probably doesn't look normal no matter what you do. I know David Kelly, our friend at Central Connecticut, was saying that the discussion is that they'll have UConn and Central Connecticut and Yale and whatever just all play together in a Connecticut regionalized and all I was thinking to myself is just a glorified spring schedule. You're just doing a glorified spring schedule just to get, and if my next question to myself was, well then does that count against that player's NCAA eligibility? even though they got no chance to win a national title or to win a league title or nothing? Is the NCAA going to take that year away from them?
Now you sound like Damian Lillard with the Trailblazers. If we're not going to play for the playoffs, then why are we playing at all? I mean, that's a fair question for a guy making $5 million. Why am I going to risk getting sick if there's nothing in it at the end of the road? You know, and I think that's a fair question for the NCAA. But they've shown a desire, at least, to add a year of eligibility for those spring athletes this year. Whether the schools accept that or not, or allow it or pay for it, they've let the schools decide upon that. Maybe there's a waiver. My guess would be there'd be a waiver possibility, and it'd be a case-by-case basis. That seems to be, Mike, I mean, your wife is in this as well. So
yeah, I mean, it's actually been impressive at how willing the NCAA has been, because that's not been my experience.
Much more than usual.
At siding on the side of the athlete and what's best for them. And so hopefully that continues, I would agree. And, it, you know, look, I think we get caught in all of this. What could happen? This might happen. This might happen. And it sounds very negative. And I think we also have to keep in mind that there's opportunity out here as well. All of these things are challenges for sure. But for our listeners and the people trying to get into college, they also provide some great opportunities for people, because things aren't normal right now. And so those that are willing to do the extra little bit of work and the extra contact and be really organized in how they approach this thing, they might end up in a situation they wouldn't have in normal circumstances. And so, again, these are opportunities as well. And I think bottom line is we all realize how much we miss it and we want it to come back. And that's a good thing as well.
I definitely echo the missing it and wanting it to come back piece. And I'll add a little bit to the opportunity piece that Mike just mentioned. You know, I was having a conversation with my wife last night, and we were talking about App State dropping men's soccer and how much of a bummer it is, and all these programs are dropping, and how spaces are becoming more and more limited for men's soccer athletes, and how that may be rough for a situation like we're in. And she said, no, she said the exact opposite. You know, having someone like yourselves who are well-connected and have a grasp of the landscape are more valuable now, because you're able to help kids find where those opportunities are, talk to the coaches, take advantage of those opportunities that are out there, because they're becoming more and more limited. Having someone who has more reach to those opportunities is going to become more valuable. And so I think there's opportunity in all sides of what we're talking about.
I think that's a positive spin on that. I like that. Hey, I was wondering if there are any, anybody out there going to got any questions? Anybody of the,
there's coming a couple from, in the chat. We also need to, I'm just reading what's in the chat room here.
Or somebody,
Coach Don. Sorry to interrupt. We do have a lot of kids in school today, so we had one login. So I'm taking questions from them as they are nicely listening, in one eye on a Zoom screen and another one on the other. So I did type some questions in to the box down below.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I was going to Stanford soccer camp before it got canceled because of the pandemic. Do you guys think college soccer camps are a way to be identified?
Yeah, I think they are certainly a good way to be identified, but I think this summer they're not going to happen. Stanford or probably really anywhere else. And so I think they'll come back again eventually. But I think for this summer, I think we're going to have to look for other ways to be seen.
Yeah, I would second that. I think it's very good. How old are you, Drevin?
I'm 12.
Okay, so in your particular case, what I would suggest is as you become, you know, a little bit older, year or two older, that you go to camps that have a lot of college coaches there, you know, a majority of college coaches and not maybe one or two specific. And then the older you get in high school, you start to kind of minimize the ones you go to based on which particular schools or regions you're most interested in. But yes, I think along with what Mike said, there's always going to be opportunity to be seen and evaluated at college camps, although this summer could be a little more difficult. I think in particular, what you're asking is very true, yes. And more so because you get to find out about those coaches and those schools as well. You know, you get to be on campus. You get to hopefully be around their players who are interacting with you by either being coaches or players in the camp. And then you get to see the coaches. You get to see how they interact with their players. You get to see how they might run a session. You know, do you like their soccer abilities and tactics and the way they talk about the game? Or, you know, is it something that you just don't fancy as much?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very cool. Any of the other listeners, players, parents have any questions?
One of the major ones that we've gotten, Mr. Williams, is obviously SRUSA is a navigation process for student athletes, and we have a lot of student athletes trying to navigate their process. And one thing I've heard during this conversation is everybody needs to be adaptive to how things are going to move and change and things along those lines. So based on the July 31st date, August 1 potentially being the earliest contact date as far as college coaches could get out, is SRUSA potentially looking at doing something, or were they going to be on site at other opportunities as they're opening up? Because we're seeing on the West Coast slowly but surely some tournaments being shown that they might be happening, some other opportunities from WAGs and different places around the United States, and we're trying to navigate our students. This has come from two female athletes that are 04s and 05s, just trying to navigate their waters for college recruiting process.
Well, certainly we did. We were in the beginning stages of actually planning our own events, and then this whole virus thing hit, and now we're waiting for things to clear up. We are planning on having staff at the Surf Cup. If that happens, then we will be out there. And that will begin to happen across the country as different tournaments begin to announce, then some of our 72 staff members will start to show up at the events. Our staff is excited to get out there and discover the next, you know, college star too. So I don't know if that answers the question or not, but.
Based on the assessment, they were asking, based on your guys', all of your groups together from England to Indiana to the West Coast, based on all of your guys', you know, brains, where do you think that would be the most sensible approach? Because as we know, all the clubs are kind of trying to figure out where they're going. And so the kids that are looking to go and say August or September to be looked at are trying to make a decision on what, you know, what they think might be the right. Because obviously Surf Cup is great and everything, but is there something in Indiana that potentially would be, you know, opening? Listening to this conversation, it's likely that maybe an Indiana tournament's going to happen before Los Angeles is going to happen, right? So I think that's maybe what they were gauging for opportunity-wise. Sorry, Mr. Cousins.
No, I apologize for jumping in. I didn't realize you'd still talking. No, I mean, Indiana, do you guys want to answer that one? Because obviously, you know more than me.
I mean, I deal with the largest park that we have in the state here, and I'll certainly know more as we get together next week on a more regular basis. But as far as I know, the only thing that's been sanctioned, or not even really sanctioned, that's starting that is that league that I mentioned. All state cups have been eliminated. Our club is scheduled to have some fall events. I think Labor Day is the first one. But even our contracts for next fall are based on if these things take place. And so, you know, again, until we know the realities of what we are moving forward in the next few weeks, I can't say that there's anything specific that's set up. I mean, our club has an event scheduled for November 13th and 15th as a college showcase. I would hope that by November that can take place. You know, usually the high school season is taking place from August to October. And so you don't really schedule, you know, college recruiting age type events. The club I'm with is in the new academy that's been with the MLS. So those are going to be going on as far as I know. And so that will provide an opportunity for the higher level players to be seen. And then starting in November, December, going to the more typical college type recruiting events.
Yeah. I mean, can I add to that, Don, whoever? Yeah. I mean, obviously, in-person action is the best way to recruit players. And I mean, in England, for example, it's not going to happen for a while. So we've had to adjust the company a little bit where we can't invite people to come to a tryout. We can't go watch people play live. So video has been really important for us. So, I mean, the advice I would have is just get your video up to scratch. Like bring it, try and get hold of it. If you've got hold of it from like even the end of this last season, if you want to call it that, bring that up to speed. You never know where you're going to be able to play next. So if you want to go to college, for example, next year or the year after, you need to get hold of it and start like using that. So for example, us as a company, we've been kind of doing tryouts, but with video, really, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. Usually we'd see them live, but we just can't do it at the minute. So that's what a lot of college coaches are having to do at the minute. They're having to gamble on people with video and references rather than see them live. So yeah, I mean, in-person thing, yeah, that's cool. And that'll happen when it happens. But just in the meantime, just a piece of advice, just get your video going, really.
Yeah, Mike, did you want to add to that?
No, I totally agree. I think the two things that are probably going to be the most prevalent for the short term is watching video and talking to coaches in your network, right? And so if I'm a college coach, I'm going to watch a video. If it interests me, I'm calling that kid's coaches, club coaches, finding out as much information, then probably going back to the video again and bouncing back and forth between what I have available to me to learn as much as I can. I agree with Chris. I think it's a good opportunity to put all your information together, your video, make sure it is as well polished as it can be, because that's what's going to be used, at least in the very short term.
Yeah. Lonnie, any other questions that any other viewers had?
The only other one we had on here is any updates. We had a suggestion from one of our players. They were asking from your guys' assessment, as you guys all being college coaches of different areas, as the as everything changes around the nation, maybe SRUSA becomes the go-to location for events and different things that are getting ready to happen. Because you guys have a different outreach through the entire United States. And based on our conversations this morning, we know what's going to happen in, say, our region inside Southern California. And we would be able to let our players know that the county and the government has okayed for those processes to happen. So based on, you know, Mr. Yarborough saying, hey, we work with an Indiana group inside this area. If we had three female players that were looking to go play in Indiana or those particular areas, we would be able to say, hey, SRUSA is not able to have an event this year, but based on their professionalism and expertise around the nation, these are the three or four college showcases that we feel are going to happen, right? We all know things are going to change no matter what, but I also know I wouldn't recommend to my players to go to a college showcase in Los Angeles in the next 2 months compared to maybe going to San Diego County, right? So those are the two different things that I think that they were trying to get. And Mr. Yarborough answered a very good point, but it was also based towards the boys, right? So it's a great opportunity for the MLS, but there's a huge issue in the United States with the female athletes and what's going on with the navigation process in between the ECNL, the GA, and the dancing process we continuously have in the United States. So I agree with you guys that you guys are a voice of reason for football in the United States, and you guys can collectively navigate this process for student athletes and parents that way. So I think that's what I was trying to get through from their question, is maybe from your guys' expertise that SRUSA is not going to have an event per se at this time, but based on knowing that we're going to have some 4 to 6 weeks to maybe get the kids back on the field in certain areas, that SRUSA would say, Chris Cousins knows, and maybe mid-August that an event might happen here in England and potentially in Indiana here, potentially here at Surf Cup, we would be able to assess some players here, and this would be the suggestion for that. From your guys' expertise, that's what I got out of from what I had heard. So not necessarily a question, more of a statement. My apologies.
No, Chris? I think he's right on. I think your ability to share information and have a centralized point of contact or group that is able to synthesize that is important. And we're able to relate to people all over the country and with Chris's contacts all over the world at this point. To make sure that we're maximizing those opportunities.
Yeah, maybe we'll bring out some sort of like, not service, but like kind of announcement thing where we can kind of let people know if they're subscribed to it, we'll let them know what we hear straight away, basically. Maybe it's a text message saying, hey, we've heard there's a college showcase going on in Georgia 3 weeks on Saturday. Something like that.
We can let people know. First.
Yeah, we'll let people know about. I mean, we'll figure it out, but it's a good idea. I mean, we can kind of help people out with the connections we've got.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are just looking for some leadership and some guidance, right? And I think people that are on this call, that's why they're listening to you. You guys are leadership and guidance people. And so for you guys to go into particular areas and show a COVID-19 process to show the leadership to get back in? Because Mr. Yarbrough said it, people are going to get sick. It's just part of normal life and things are going to happen, but we got to be prepared to make sure that they're safe and that everybody feels okay. So young Drevin can go to Stanford in 10 years and we can all laugh about how funny this conversation was and that, you know, he can have a pandemic crisis and solve the entire world for us. Guys, go ahead and wrap it up. Appreciate your time. Fantastic, fantastic time.
Thanks, Chris, Ernie, Mike, did you guys want to do a quick wrap up with me? Anything that sounds like we missed?
Actually, I've enjoyed certainly listening to everybody's insight. And again, my personal opinion is that let's not focus on all the challenges. Let's focus on the opportunities and keep pushing this thing forward with optimism. You know, that's part of this deal, is that we've got to be resilient and just keep pushing this thing forward. And if we can help, that's what we're here for. We want to help you.
Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly. I think we got to find opportunity wherever we can. You know, I talk to the goalkeepers in our club right now about opportunities to be leaders, to be great teammates. You know, contact your teammates, talk to them, find, this is a great opportunity to find out as much about other people as people, more so maybe than players and things. So take advantage of the opportunity, be ready for the next one that comes, as Mike said, being nimble, be quick, and be ready to go, because I think the doors are starting to open, whether it's right in your neighborhood or not. Here in the next month or 6 weeks, I think you're going to be back on the field before you know it. Be ready to go, and however we can help, happy to do so.
And Don, yeah. If I could, just one more thing, if you don't mind.
Yes,
I
Mike.
Think they all have this, all these players have the opportunity to be slowed down a little bit right now. And I say it's an opportunity. So how about this as an exercise? How about they just sit down one night and think about all of the best teammates they've ever played with? Who's your best teammate? And come up with the qualities of the best teammate you've ever played with. And write those down. And then as you're planning to become the player that you want to become, that's who you're trying to be. And these are things that you never have time to do, but it's a great exercise. You can do it right now. What's the best teammate you've ever played with? That's the qualities.
And why? Yep. Why?
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, good idea. Chris, I love your pastoral view there. So we'll let you say good night from Leeds, England, or close to Leeds, outside of Leeds.
Well, yeah, no, the only thing I was just going to finish on is, like, soccer is not disappearing. There's going to be some people sat there in the basements just kind of, like feeling sorry for themselves. But there's people listening to this right now who are obviously being proactive and optimistic. So, like you say, just get ready for it. I think it's, like I say, it's a good time to kind of, yeah, slow down. Do what Mike said there is a brilliant activity to do. Even look back at your old videos, kind of assess your kind of game. Like, for example, I was speaking to a player yesterday who's not really watched any of his games this past year. So I said to him, watch five games, just kind of assess yourself, look yourself properly. And he goes, yeah, I've got time to do it. So I was like, there we go. So yeah, just take advantage of the time we've got, but obviously stay ahead of the game. And I think, like I say, soccer and education is recession proof, as I always say, Don. It's not going away.